B-Pod Studios.
Now, more Toucher and Rich.
I mean, look at us. We are just three intimidating sons of bitches.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hey, we are Toucher and Rich. I'm just reading the stories that Dan sent us. The Lakers are retiring Paul Gasol's number?
It's just a stupid thing.
Yeah.
What the hell? I mean, you could have told me anybody.
Who? How many numbers do they have retired if that's the case?
Well, it can't be like the Celtics. That would be impossible.
It's got to be close when you go Paul Gasol.
No, that's what I'm saying is that there's like who's and we've discussed this. I have asked Cedric Maxwell about this, so I have discussed it with the man. I'm not talking about his back. But who is, and John, this question would be for you. I was a very, very young man when he was playing. Not a young man. I was a little kid.
Yeah.
Who is more worthy, or are they about the same, Paul Gasol or Cedric Maxwell?
Well, Max was a finals MVP, and he also won a championship. I think Gasol...
They're about even,
but Max is a little ahead because he was a finals MVP. I mean, okay, that was 81, jump on my back type of thing. Gasol, while good and an all-star, wasn't, you know, he wasn't the guy. You know,
No, he never wasn't.
You know?
He got three all-NBA nods, according to this. But he only spent six seasons with the Lakers.
Yeah. So Gasol, I remember in 10 when they won, obviously against the Celtics. He was a beast during that finals. I know he was unbelievable, but he also had Artest with him. I'm sorry. Meta World Peace, was a huge factor as well.
He was the reason they won Game 7 that year.
He absolutely was. And then the other thing is you had Kobe on your team. So, yeah. Do they have an extra title because of Paul Gasol's contributions? There's an argument there, absolutely. Do you retire his number? I mean... Of a franchise's storied as the Lakers, asking a lot.
Kevin Garnett spent 6 years here and got his number.
He's
retired.
A Hall of Famer,
Of course. And I was just going to mention that's the difference. And you mentioned how many Lakers have had their numbers retired? 10 Lakers, 11 numbers retired. Kobe had both 8 and 24 retired. But I mean, if you run down the list, you know, Wilt Chamberlain, Elgin Baylor, Magic Johnson, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Shaquille O'Neal, James Worthy, Paul Gasol, you know, Jerry West. I mean, there are a couple of guys you look at and go, you know, maybe, but, you know, I don't get Gasol at all.
I give it to the Ram man. I mean, why is Rambis? I'm retiring Rambis's number before I'm retiring Gasol's. Michael right. Cooper, the defensive wizard that was Michael Cooper, the Marcus Smart of his day.
All right, so somebody is saying, here's the quote. Kobe Bryant, I guess, said, when Paul retires, he will have his number in the rafters next to mine. I don't win those championships without Paul. I really look forward to the day when he's giving his speech at center court. It's going to be an awesome night. So it sounds like they're doing it mostly because Kobe asked for it.
Hachi Machi. I mean, die young, though. Do whatever you want. I mean, do you think that if Kobe Bryant's alive, Paul Gasol gets his number retired?
No. The chances are not as high.
No,
I would agree with you on that, but that's weird.
Listen, it's the Lakers. They can do whatever they want. I don't run the team. It doesn't matter to me. It just seems do you think that Kobe Bryant would really care? say you can be in the afterlife and see what's going on, on the earth. Do you think Kobe's thank you for honoring my wishes and retiring Paul Gasol's number? I would imagine that was last on his list of things he wanted to see done, you know, if he was no longer on the planet.
I was just about to ask a question, which I guess doesn't need to be answered because I was saying, are they going to retire LeBron James's number? But then I realized it's number six, and that's Bill Russell's, and that's going to be retired everywhere. Yeah. So, but I also wonder if they're, I mean, I guess you can still retire it for the Lakers as it being LeBron's number.
Well, there's a couple things I think that is interesting about the retiring of Bill Russell's number is I hate that they do it the day after the guy dies. Like, Why don't you do it while he's alive so he can, you know?
Yeah, that does suck. Yeah, because that was something that had been spoken about for years.
Yeah, so just do it. I mean, the guy was old. I mean, you knew he didn't have long to live just because people die. And so, like, you know, I wish they would have done it while he's alive. And also, what is it? Like, they got to do Jordan, don't you think?
Well, I think it's also... No. I don't know if they would do that for the entire league. Bill Russell, obviously, the reason that this is such a big deal, you know, is the civil rights, yeah. And I think it's almost as much that as it is who he was as a basketball player.
No, I understand that, but he wasn't like the first black guy to play in the NBA. Like
no,
Jackie
but
Robinson.
It was how outspoken he was and how he marched with Martin Luther King and you know and the stories about you know things he would and would not refuse to do in cities that didn't treat you know blacks the same.
I understand the legacy of Bill Russell and I understand all of that, but I'm telling you, if the NBA retires Jordan's number while he's living, they're going to get a pop like you would not believe.
Yeah. Maybe it's because maybe they would have, but I'm wondering if Jordan has made enough enemies lately that there might not be as much support. Like he's a
well,
guy.
Scottie Pippen would not like.
Oh no, Scottie Pippen would not like that at all. Isaiah Thomas would not be a big fan.
Yeah.
You know, as entertaining as you know that Last Dance documentary was, he was just shooting shrapnel everywhere. You know, there's management of teams that you know looked bad.
Well, I mean, you saw his Hall of Fame speech.
Well, that's the first time.
He's got a list,
John. That's the first time.
He's had a list for years.
So,
that's not new.
And maybe he had spoken, and people knew he was a dick before that, but I remember his Hall of Fame speech. I'm still in the world that oh Jordan can't do any wrong. Jordan's the best, and right. I remember sitting down and watching that, and I was like, at the end of it, I turned to my wife and I went, "Man, Michael Jordan's a prick."
Yeah,
like, he's like, you know, they said to me, "There's no I in team," but I turned to him and said, "There's an I in win," and he thought the place was going to go crazy. I'm like, "No, you sound like a dick," and then he was like throwing everybody under the bus during his speech as well. Mm-hmm. That was weird, man. That was really, really weird.
It's the social issue, Fred. I think that makes the difference. That's why the NBA won't retire Jordan.
All right. Well, then they should have done it while Bill Russell was alive.
I absolutely agree with that.
And by the way, I do think they'll retire Jordan's number. I think
they might. They might. Listen, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if they did. But if you retire Jordan, then all of a sudden, do you retire LeBron's number? Although he's had a bunch of different numbers. You know, Kobe? People are going to come at you with Kobe?
People think Kareem, you know, for all those championships years.
No. Jordan is the most transcendent player in NBA history and will always be.
And there's still an argument that LeBron is that guy, too.
No. The argument would be LeBron's better, but there's no argument about who's the most transcendent player in NBA history. There's none. I mean, Jordan is responsible for all of this. I mean, Jordan's popularity is responsible for LeBron's popularity. LeBron James would not be as popular as he is today if there was no Michael Jordan. Jesus, my 12-year-old daughter wants Jordan shoes. I mean, think about it. I mean, it's ludicrous what this guy is. This guy makes as much money retired as guys make while they're playing. More.
Oh, sure.
More. Much more. Yeah.
Right. So you got to think of the Jordan brand. LeBron will never be that. Now, LeBron is... one of the biggest stars in the history of the NBA, and some argue that he's better than Jordan. But that's not the issue. The issue is
Jordan will
never be a brand like Jordan again.
No, what you say is correct on the floor, but it's interesting. Jordan, throughout his career, has made it an issue to stay away from social issues, to stay away from civil rights issues and be very, very neutral.
Now, is it as honorable to retire his number as Bill Russell's? No, but I would argue that for marketing purposes, it's a lot more effective. Like, can you imagine if they retire his number and they can trot out all the Jordan highlights again? I mean, you saw when they did The Last Dance. Could you imagine an athlete? They do what is it, like, you know, 20 years after the guy retires, they come out with a 85-hour documentary on the guy, and it, like, takes over the public consciousness?
I think they're waiting for him to pass because, you know, of they don't want probably any skeletons coming out after they were league-wide retired.
No. You mean these two hookers from the Borgata start speaking up after one of his trips during the playoffs?
I'm not even saying that. It's just that, you know, there's probably going to be people. He's made enemies, so I'm wondering if anyone's, you know, going to come out and say anything bad about the guy.
I don't think there's much of a doubt that he gambled on basketball, and that's why he went to play baseball. I think that's the whispers,
and that was even in The Last Dance. I mean, there's speculation about stuff like that, and maybe there's evidence that people have been holding on to.
David Stern covered for him. You remember?
Well,
I know where the story goes.
That's right. I know where the bodies are buried. That's true.
I'm like a mafioso, even though I run a league. I know where the bodies are buried. All right. Anyway, I just thought it was odd that Paul Gasol is.
It is. It is very odd.
That's weird.
I'm no basketball historian, but wasn't locked into his career.
I bet you if you polled Laker fans, they would be like, really?
Okay. I wonder if they would think that Derek Fisher is more deserving.
Yes, sir. Robert Horry, something like that. Guys who hit big shots.
But I mean, Derek
Byron
Fisher.
Scott.
Well, yes.
Maybe. But I mean, Fisher was on all those winning teams. I mean, the guy was almost a decade with the Lakers? And I don't know. I bet there's an argument to be made that he was more worthy of winning or having his number retired than Paul Gasol was. And Paul Gasol was very, very good, as I said. But I mean, Fisher was right there during all that.
Yeah. Anyway, if you would have told me the Lakers were retiring a number, you could have given me a million guesses, and I would never have guessed Paul Gasol.
Fisher's won 5 championships.
Well, Robert Horry's won 150. Remember, like, when there was, like, 40 years in a row, like, Robert Horry was on every championship?
Big shot Bob, yes. I remember.
Him and Horace Grant, they just couldn't stop winning. All right. When I was in Orlando, everyone had not everyone, but a lot of people had the goggles on the front of the grills of their car as a tribute to the Orlando Magic.
Well, Fred,
you want to talk about a town that loved a team? Oh, boy.
Orlando had nothing.
Yep. Oh, when they went to the finals? Oh,
dude, that team was exciting. Like, that team was awesome from the jump.
But there's something about, like, that town had never had anything, and now they had a team that was winning. It was pretty funny. Like, people were all in.
You see the video someone dug up? I think it was last year of somebody, like the organization, found a songwriter to write a Orlando Magic theme, and it was performed at halftime of their first show. Have you heard it?
No.
Oh, it is jazzy razzmatazz. It is
really.
It's great. Not good. Because usually those are really good.
It's not good. It's excellent. We should probably we'll play it coming back. It is as 1993. Was that when they
launched? Those were the championship years. 93.
Yeah. It was early 90s like stage show. Oh, it's great. We'll find those
uniforms were just atrocious. And
pinstripe black with
Dennis
purple
Scott
letters
there
and
with
stuff.
Like
I remember Scott Skiles.
And there would be. Scott Skiles was just doing rails off the floor.
Come on.
Him and Reggie Theus were the original. Like, listen, I know Scott Skiles. He was one of Michigan State's greatest players of all time.
Mm-hmm.
But, Reggie Theus was on that expansion team. No, by the time I got there, they had Hardaway and Shaq. I got there in 93, fall of 93.
Okay, so maybe it was 92 when it launched, I think.
The team?
Yeah.
Oh, the team was it might have been like 89.
Because Dennis Scott was on the 1991 Georgia Tech Final Four team.
No, I'm saying the team started.
Yeah, I think Dennis Scott was one of the first players.
No, when they started it, when the Nick Anderson was on that team too, but
You might be right. Maybe it was
89-90 was their first season.
Okay, yeah. All right. Yeah, all right.
Yeah. And that team was awful. Dennis Scott.
18-64. I'm looking at it now.
They had Reggie Theus, Scott Skiles.
Nick Anderson was there for the first season.
Okay, so that must have been their first draft.
Scott Skiles was there for the first season.
Reggie Theus was there, I know for a fact.
I'm looking at the roster here.
No,
not the first year. Oh, hold on. There he is. I got it. Yep. Reggie Theus. Good call. Yep.
Ding, ding.
There
he is.
Yeah, because Reggie Theus just said, like, I'm keeping the Jerry curls long. Yep. I don't care what people say. If I think he's dead, but if he wasn't, he'd still have Jerry curls.
Let me see if this is it. Hang on. Oh, that's not it. It's magic.
They should have done that. Yeah. That would have been good.
Michael will find it during the break.
Stop ruining my thing at the City Winery.
It's touchy.
It's the magic of the Beatles.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, he kills some animals, just like he reenacts John beating the hell out of his first wife. All right, I'm a historian.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
John was a terrible human being. All right, we'll be back in just a moment.
This is Toucher and Rich.
It sounds like the biggest nightmare, and why anyone would choose it, I don't know.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's so fantastic, get out of control. You can feel the power under your feet.
It's like Mr. Show. Wow, what a hit. What a hit. A fifth rate.
Gonna get you.
Like,
what the hell is that?
That was like a hocus pocus.
Keep it going. Keep it going. Yeah. Don't let him stop.
No.
It sounded like it was about to go into like an action montage from like Best of the Best or something.
Yeah. I just like how they go like use magical terms. Like hocus pocus.
Alakazam. What was what? Slam dunk sesame.
Can you imagine being in the media where they play that? And like in sitting around like with other people at a conference room table and nodding like, yeah.
Oh, dude,
that's the one.
It's so fantastic, get out of control. You can feel the power under your feet.
All right, I was in Orlando from 93 to 97. I never heard this song.
I mean,
I never went to a game, but I never.
I think this song lasted about one night, Fred.
I just tweeted the video out. The video's just the best. It was played.
I would imagine it's.
Time.
I imagine it's pretty well done.
Oh sure.
Gonna get you.
Is that a black guy or a white guy? I'm curious.
And he's wearing almost like a sleeveless vest that's got, you know, sequins and stuff on it. And all the dancers are out there and it's dark. And then it looks like there might even be a magician that comes running out, kind of like Chachi's show, and like does magic tricks. There's like explosions, like the little cheap ones that they have inside the arena. Oh, it's great. He's dressed almost like the genie from Aladdin. He's got like, it's like a vest, but the sides, shoulders kind of go out. Very, very, like, well choreographed. It's just phenomenal, Fred.
Yeah, Doug Henning was the fifth Beatle.
He was.
If you watch the documentary that just came out, Doug Henning was levitating off it with his legs crossed behind him. He's the reason Ringo wears rainbow suspenders to this day.
That's, you know what? That is, what's more embarrassing, that or New England, the Patriots, and we?
Oh boy! Oh,
that.
No. And here's why I disagree is because New England, the Patriots, and we was a direct response to the greatest team hype song of all time. A
made
song
it much more now, embarrassing.
In the Super Bowl shuffle, it was an MTV hit. Like that thing was a hit. People became Bears fans just because of that dumb video. Now you may say, "Hey, the song's no good." That's not the point. It was a pop culture sensation when it came out.
Now the song's terrible.
The song's terrible, but
at
it was
the time,
huge.
It was, right. At the but time, it was
I can tell you, Fred, as a guy living here, when that New England Patriots and We came out, I was embarrassed. I was embarrassed.
How many
then.
Times did you hear it, though? Did they play it a
enough?
Lot?
Yes. They tried to push it big time here.
Because it's awful long.
No,
oh,
it is.
It goes on forever.
It's like 7 minutes long.
Did BCN play it?
What's that?
Who played it?
The video was
like,
on.
Who played it?
The video was on a lot. It was awful.
Where
was it? Dan O'Brien, here's a question. Did we have V66 back then?
Yeah, it was
on V66 a lot.
I think the V66 people are the ones who ultimately made the video. But V66 wasn't... That wasn't on 24/7, was it?
Like, yes, it was.
Oh yeah.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, yeah. This song was on a lot.
Arnie Wu,
it was embarrassing as hell. It really was.
Did they play it on the radio?
Yes.
Because it's really long.
Yes.
Oh, and it's awful. And you can't, it's like, here's to football in February. Like you couldn't even really understand.
Those 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, I mean, it's first time the Patriots had been there. It was a huge deal.
And this was pre-Ed O'G, so I don't even know if there was a hip-hop option in Boston at that point. This was pre-Marky Mark as well. So
yes, pre-everything.
I didn't think you could get worse than the New England Patriots of Wii. Now, embarrassing, that Orlando Magic one is definitely. But the fact that that was just the contrast between what the Bears had done. And then they said, you know what? You may have the fridge and McMahon there. We're going to give you John Dennis.
Yeah. No,
that's it. He's the star of our video.
We knew that at first look. It isn't like looking back at it now. Well, we knew at the time that this was a mistake.
Looking
and
back
the name
at the
sucked.
Super, yeah, I know. Looking back at the but well, they had to cobble it together quickly. Looking back at the Super Bowl shuffle, now that's embarrassing when you look back at it. But at the time, it was a cultural phenomenon. In fact, that might be the most popular football team of certainly of my lifetime was that 85 Bears team.
There's no question. That Super Bowl,
and they were so well coached, they won one title.
with that defense, they won one title.
Well, I mean, they lost Buddy Ryan, and then the whole thing fell apart.
Well, I mean, you know,
Mike Ditka can't coach.
Whereas New England, the Patriots, and We was the worst named song of the whole let's rally the team and get a team song. The best named one has to be Hey, y'all remember this? Hey, after the Super Bowl shuffle.
Ram it. You know ram it. It's a lot of upper body stuff.
Yeah, that's Jackie Slater. That's Slater's dad, I believe, is the very first person to rap in that. Yeah,
he was always talking about ram and crap. Ram it.
Really?
Ram it, ram it, ram it.
We asked him about that.
Ram it in a beaker.
he remembers the Ram It video. He remembers when he was a kid seeing his dad make that video.
Yeah, and that encouraged me to be the guy that scoots down the sidelines on kicks.
That is.
I'm going to make $2 million a year because I'm a nice guy.
That music from the Orlando Magic song, like that sounds like something straight out of an Andy Sidaris movie.
Yeah,
like, that sounds like something out of Malibu Express or a Hard Ticket to Hawaii.
The best is like if you're watching a porn from the 80s or 90s, and you can tell that the dude that like directed it either has a friend or himself. Is thinks that they're going to be like a big metal guy, because like all of a sudden like the porn will have this like shredding awful like terrible guitar playing, and you're like you know the guy, and it will go music by like in the credits, like it'll go like music by, and then you're like. It reminds me of that scene from Boogie Nights. Like, this director's like, yeah, like, man, I'm just using porn as a vehicle to get my band signed. Like, I mean, you know, everyone watches porn, so, I mean, you're not going to be able to ignore my licks.
Let me hear
and
that
I,
song.
And I mean
Damn.
That twice.
Let it roll. Because when that guitar kicks in, it's like every single bad action movie, like from like 1989 montage. I mean, it's like Kickboxer.
I like the out of control.
No Holds Barred, the Hulk Hogan wrestling movie. It's like, what they're getting the team together. Yeah.
Watch out, she wins. Gonna get you.
There's your shred.
Run that track.
Oh yep. Yeah, American Ninja 3. Like that's like what that is right there.
The kickboxer thing is a good one because instead of that Kumite song, you just play that one.
Oh
you know,
sure.
During the tournament, I like it. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
It's gonna get you.
Right.
Here's a bunch of things that people don't say. Hoax Pocus.
All right. Now I have to. For some reason, I have the need to Google 1989 action movies. Oh.
Well, why don't you just Google your brain? They're all in there.
Right. But 89 just seems like it's just the. Oh my god! Wow, some good movies made in 1989. Holy crap. Like, as far as the action genre is doing okay. The original Batman, Roadhouse. Oh, did I nail Kickboxer or did I nail Kickboxer?
Yeah.
Best of the Best, The Abyss, not bad. Tango and Cash was an 89 movie.
There's got to be Karate Tango Kid in there Cash. Somewhere, right? The second one?
Actually, John, you're pretty good, but it was part three. Three came out.
Tango right. and Cash, very realistic depiction of prison life. A lot of giant warehouse spaces with steam in jail, apparently. Because you're often in jail, put into a giant cavernous warehouse with steam rising.
When I was a kid, I didn't get that joke where they're in the shower together, Kurt Russell and Sylvester Stallone, and Kurt Russell bends over, and Stallone's like, what are you doing? And he goes, soap, and don't flatter yourself.
Right.
Didn't get it till I was older.
Oh, yeah. Well, did you see? How about the first time you saw Fast Times at Ridgemont High as an adult and you realized that you didn't understand what 50% of the movie was about?
I didn't see that as a kid. Like, the first time I think it was like 20.
Yeah, I saw it as a kid. I had no idea what Judge Reinhold was doing in the bathroom. I had no idea that they had sex in the dugout of the baseball field. I had no idea. Did she had an abortion? I had no idea what was going on.
You know what movie sucks outside of Sean Penn's character? Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, that's a fantastic movie.
I thought that movie was... I did not like it. I thought it was dumb.
That's a fantastic movie. A wonderful movie. How dare you? When they're at the dinner and he forgets his wallet...
Although I hated, like, the Breakfast Club. Like, I was not a big, like, Pretty in Pink Breakfast Club guy. I did find part of 16 Candles pretty funny.
Pretty in Pink is insufferable. But in 16 Candles is a movie you could not make again.
No.
Not a chance.
They don't actually have sex, but the character of, what's his face, the dork.
Anthony Michael Hall.
Yeah, when he's with the prom queen. They think that they had sex, but they don't, so it's not technically taking advantage of a woman who was blacked out. But
wow, Gleaming the Cube was 89. Lethal
that is not a good movie. Gleaming the Cube was on TV.
It was
on TV the other day.
I haven't seen it in like 20 years, but I remember liking it when I saw it.
Not a lot of skating. Not as much as you remember.
Okay.
The Last Crusade, Indiana Jones 3. That was out as well.
Good movie.
Next of Kin. That is a underrated Patrick Swayze action movie where they killed his brother Liam Neeson. Savage Beach, an Andy Sidaris classic.
Savage Beach, not a good movie, and not even good to as a young man to pleasure yourself to, because it focused too much on Donna, who I didn't care to see naked. The two women that started it, I didn't think much of.
Oh, Am I Good or Am I Good? No Holds Barred, 1989. the Hulk Hogan movie. That might have been his first big, other than, of course, Rocky III, where he was Thunder Lips. No Retreat, No Surrender 2. Now we're getting a little strange. But although I saw most of these. Like, I was a video. I used to beg my parents. They used to let me watch anything. So I would always come on with
these. Not Fast and Furious went high. I mean, come on.
No, it didn't interest me. I wanted to see action movies. I wanted to see, like, you know, Jean-Claude, Steven Seagal. You know, all of those movies.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High was on TV, was on cable a lot. I don't know.
Maybe.
That's obviously how I saw it. All right, very good. That's a trip down memory lane if you're an Orlando Magic fan. All right, Rich.
It's so fantastic.
That thing is out of control. It's so out of control. There's going to be killings and robberies. It's anarchy in the arena. It's out of control. Security doesn't stand a chance. It's going to set your spirit free. You're going to die.
That's really kind of what happened.
We do Native American ceremonies. Spirit free. We're all taking acid and going to light shows.
Right.
Yeah, that's not good. All right, Rich, what's going down?
Oh, Fred, I got something for you. Jim Irsay, our best buddy, did a little talking, and he was in his happy place because wasn't talking pigskin. He was talking the Irsay Shred Collection.
Yeah. Let me take you on an adventure, man. All right. He does now talk like a 1982 stoner. Rush had an album called Grace Under Pressure. And that's exactly how he says it, too. Just like an 82 stoner. If I was doing an impression of a stoner from 1982, it would be that voice.
Rush had an album title called Grace Under Pressure.
Grace Under Pressure. Like the way he says pressure. Pressure. All right. God, that was the first time you played that. Oh, that was a perfect line. All right.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This show means nothing.
Here are Toucher and Rich.
We go for the jugular.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
All right. What is going on, Rich?
Okay, real quick before we get to Jim Irsay, I have to give Ryan Johnson a ton of credit because he sent something our way. You know, in the wake, we were just talking about how New England, the Patriots, and we was the worst response to the Super Bowl shuffle. A ton of teams tried to copy that. We played Ram It by the Rams. There was all that stuff that was out there. But I have never seen this. This is from the Philadelphia Eagles. Coming out just about a year or two after the Super Bowl shuffle. And all the videos are the same. It's like the players in a studio, and then it like closes in on someone like turning the knobs and, you know, adjusting the volume while they have their hands in their head and they're singing. I just have to play this part. This is from the song is called Buddy's Watching You. I guess because of Buddy Ryan, the head coach. I think he was the head coach at the time, I'm assuming. Let's just take a listen to... This is the Philadelphia Eagles' attempt to recreate the Super Bowl shuffle. Mike, do you have it, Mike? Can you play that? Do you have it? Hello? Oh, okay. We'll play it in a minute. We'll play it in a minute.
Literally, loading now.
It's worth the wait. It is as bad of a copy of the Super Bowl show as you can get. All right. In the meantime, let's get to Mr. Jim Irsay, who yesterday was feeling it. Not only was he feeling good because he was with his buddy Pat McAfee, they love hanging out, joshing, but he was also getting to talk about the thing that he loves the most, and that is, of course, rock and or roll in his huge collection.
Rush had an album title called Grace Under Pressure,
which he's bringing it on tour as we speak. Do you need to play the Eagles rap now, Dan, you just said? Okay, let's just play it now. We'll play that now. Here's the Eagles rap.
Keith Jackson, tight end.
Yeah, boy!
Quarterback's back.
Luis and Deja, I kick field goals. Am I nervous? Yeah, I'm supposed to win the game by hitting the mark. This game's over before it starts.
Stop. That's nowhere near the beat.
I feel so bad. Oh my God.
How many shots at it are you going to give Zendejas? You get a couple. You get maybe one, two kicks at the can, and if it doesn't work, it doesn't work.
How many stars do you have if the kicker is like the third guy in the rap?
Yeah.
The kick. Let me hear that one more time. Like, this guy's got bars for years or whatever they call them. The cool whip up.
I kick field goals. Am I nervous? Yeah, I'm supposed to win the game by hitting the mark. This game's over before it starts.
I wonder if he just added that part of, like, because it doesn't even rhyme. He's like, my name's Luis Zendejas. Am I nervous? Yes, I am.
Hey, he was actually talking about his experience recording a rap song.
Yeah, he's like, I'm pretty nervous right now. I can't figure out how to be unbeat. Am I supposed to rhyme? Hello?
Oh, that is something else. All right, let's get to Jim Irsay. Here he is. You have it, Dan.
Can we talk about the collection a little bit?
Sure, I'd love to.
Hey, you're a museum. You are a museum right now. You said you're a steward of the game. Do you feel like you're a steward of the history of all the things you're interested in as well? That's why you're buying everything?
I mean, no question, the last 25 years, putting this together has been a very specific artistic pattern, if you will, led by, intuition and just knowing what works. And there's been so much, like, for instance, like, people don't know this famous museum in New York that had all the KGB spy equipment during the Cold War, bow ties that shoot, poison things. So it went out of business during COVID. So I bought the whole museum.
All right. Wait. Let's unpack all of this. Okay. It was an artistic endeavor of being a billionaire and seeing what was on auction. A, you bought every high-priced Vakakta guitar that was out there. Real big artistic expression. You're a billionaire that just outbid dudes in auction. I mean, it doesn't take a genius to know, like, Kurt Cobain's guitar is up for auction. Or, like, a Beatles guitar is up for auction. You just have your assistant go, hey, I've been looking at the auction website. Would you like to overpay for this? And congratulations. There was a museum going out of business, and as an artistic endeavor, I bought the museum.
So it went out of business during COVID. So I bought the whole museum.
It had a bow tie that shooted darts, which goes well with my lapel flower that shoots seltzer water. There was a museum of clowning that I purchased. I bought the Wham-O novelty company.
Welcome to the whoopee cushion wing.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, what show was he on again?
Pat McAfee.
Pat McAfee.
Hey, Pat, you stepped in dog doo. Psych. Whammo. You know, but the country doesn't produce fake vomit anymore. What an artistic pursuit to throw money around at auction.
McAfee loves him, too.
I love him. If I could be a regular guy, I would love having Jim Irsay on. Are you kidding me?
I would love having Jim Irsay on, and I would just totally placate him to get him to say funny stuff by accident. Like, I would just ask him questions about Rush and Molly Hatchet and stuff.
Oh, sure. Just go deep. It would be the Eddie Trunk show with Jim Irsay.
Oh, Eddie Trunk last night. Or not yet. Last night at 4 o'clock yesterday afternoon was taking listener mail who wanted to know why Hailstorm canceled their shows.
This is one of the few times I wish the show could continue. We only got three. Keep it going. Let's see what we got.
Poison things. So it went out of business during COVID. So I bought the whole museum.
Yeah.
So, of course, the bow tie, we took the bullet out of it. And the poison's out of the pen. That's like one of 500 things to go with this collection that has, you know, Abraham Lincoln's pocket knife and John Lennon's guitar and Elton John's piano. And the list goes on. But we also, Jackie Robinson's bat from the World Series, Muhammad Ali's robe that he first, when he changed from clay to Ali.
Wow.
His shoes against, you know.
Jim, Fraser. You're doing exactly what everybody who, like, ever says, like, if I get money, I'm going to help the things that I'm interested in.
Well,
and
that's
you've done that.
He sat around here and said, okay, you know, we got a couple $100 million. Let's go buy some stuff. What do the people want to see? And we'd all say, no. I mean, if you go in someone's house, what do you really want to see? You know, what really moves you? And also things that can transcend generations, hopefully. You know, and that's the reason Lincoln.
Hell yeah.
And, you know, anything involving.
Wait a second. So he didn't even curate a specific. I gave him too much credit. He didn't even curate a specific collection. Random crap I bought.
Yeah. Famous name thing they owned.
Yeah, like here, we have some guitars, some KGB stuff, Lincoln's pocket knife. Like, he just bought crap. You know, we had a couple hundred million, so instead of giving it to charity,
storage locker somewhere. Just open it up and it's just stuff everywhere.
Or to give it to the Smithsonian. I decided to keep it. Wow, what a hero. All right, well, we have tickets to give away, let me tell you this. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group. Contest line 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots take on Carolina tomorrow night at Gillette Stadium for the final preseason home game. Be listening all day for other chances to win.
Fred, we may need to revisit this when we come back together on Monday, because there's a lot more to this Jim Irsay thing. He really goes off
the rails. There's so much more. This another 2.5 minutes.
I mean, but
just straight audio. This
what you heard is called the warm-up.
And I like Pat McAfee. Like, this is what everyone would says they'd do if they had all that money. No.
Not really. No.
But I might Pat buy, McAfee like, said it, though. You got to be Irsay. It's like, yeah.
I didn't say Pat. I didn't not insulting Pat McAfee at all. I mean, like, you know, there might be a couple pieces of memorabilia I'd buy, but I don't think that's how I would. But again, I will never have as much money as to not ever wear out.
Or now, let's just go buy some stuff.
Just fun stuff.
All right. Well, tomorrow I am playing Rich Your Dream. I am playing 27 holes of golf.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
About 12, 13 holes. That's it for me.
Well, it is broken up into 3 9-hole matches. And I do have my group has a full 12 strokes higher handicap than the next worst group. So we'll see. But
good luck, Fred.
Thank you, fellas. Everyone have a great weekend. That'll do it for Rich and I for the week. I take it you're back tomorrow, John, as you don't have.
I am. It's going to be me, Jones, and Joe Murray tomorrow.
All right. Well, listen, people will enjoy that. Everyone have a great weekend.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.